and with the forest reaching up to the paddock beyond the orchard close. You will understand better when I have told you my story, why I saw Burnmore for the last time when I was 21, and why my memories of it shine so crystalline clear. I have 1,000 vivid miniatures of it in my mind, and all of them are beautiful to me, so that I could quite easily write a whole book of landscapes from the park alone. I can still recall quite vividly the warm, beauty-soaked sensation of going out into the morning sunshine of the park, with my lunch in a little green Swiss tin under my arm, and the vast, interminable day all before me, the gigantic, divinely unconditional day that only boyhood knows, and the park so great and various that it was more than 2 hours going for me to reach its eastern fences. I was only a little older then than you are now. Sometimes I went right up through the woods to the house to companion with Philip and Guy Christian and their sister. I loved her then, and one day I was to love her with all my heart. But in those boyish times I liked most to go alone. My memories of the park are all under blue sky and sunshine, with just a thunderstorm or so. On wet days and cold days I was kept to closer limits, and it seems to me now rather an intellectual conviction than a positive memory that save for a few pine-clad patches in the extreme southeast, its soil was all thick clay. That meant for me only beautiful green marshes, a number of vividly interesting meres upon the course of its stream, and a wealth of gigantic oaks. The meres lay at various levels, and the hand of Lady Ladislaw had assisted nature in their enrichment with lilies and water-plants. There were places of sedge and scented rush, amidst which were sapphire mists of forget-me-not for long stretches, skirmishing commandos of yellow iris and wide wastes of floating water-lilies. The gardens passed insensibly into the park, and beyond the house were broad stretches of grass, sunlit, barred with the deep green shadows of great trees, and animated with groups and lines of fallow deer. Near the house was an Italianate garden, with balustradings and statuary, and a great wealth of roses and flowering shrubs. Then there were bracken wildernesses in which the does lurked with the young fawns, and a hollow, shallow and wide, with a turf greatly attacked by rabbits and exceptionally threadbare, where a stricken oak, lightning-stripped, spread out its